This is the Life Manual for 20-somethinghood, where we dive into the uncharted waters of post-college life. Because let's be honest, college left a few chapters out. Regardless isn't just a word here. It's a mindset that sparks a growth journey. As your host, Skylar Sorkin, my mission is to arm our generation with community, competence, clarity, and confidence, empowering you to seize control of your own life steering wheel. This podcast is the compass for 20-somethings navigating the complexities of adulthood. Don't just listen, evolve with us. Your future self will thank you. Regardless, you've got this. This podcast is presented solely for educational and entertainment purposes. The podcast is not intended or in substitute for a licensed therapist, physician, or professional life coach. Okay, let's do it. You sent us your questions on the challenges that you're currently experiencing in your 20s, and we're here to help you, babe. You've got me, literally your best friend, and your second mama, Linda Sorkin. Hi, Mom.
Hi, guys. So excited to be here.
You finally have your mic.
I do. Well, I had it. You know, I'm still in progress as far as learning technology, but hey.
Mom, it looks great.
Gotta give a girl a break here, right?
And your teeth look so white.
They do?
Yes.
Thank you.
I need that. My teeth are look, yeah.
Okay.
So, first question. Dating in LA sucks. Any tips? Retweet. But there are ways around it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to definitely reach out to you, Sky, with this, but I'm thinking dating perhaps nowadays is a whole path and wild west that is difficult to manage. Mm-hmm. Layering it on with living in Los Angeles, I think makes it super unique. And so let's just kind of dive in and we'll specify the LA gang. Okay. We'll focus in on that territory. So I think, Skies, you and I have really communicated about living in Los Angeles, and I lived in Los Angeles as well in my 20s. So I feel ya. I think what we discussed is it's really hard oftentimes to make those deep, even superficial connections, but really deep connections, which would lead you to formulating a relationship with somebody. So having said that, since it's such a diverse community and spread out, I think one of the first tips I'd like to really suggest is to be as open as possible. Open to the diversity in dating, meeting different people, maybe approaching dating with as many apps, talking to your friends that you're interested in meeting people. So it's really trying to expand, I think, your connections as it relates to romance. What do you think, Sky? Do you think that that's kind of true, staying open to the diversity?
Yeah, 100%. I think staying open to the diversity and just like different personalities. I think like as women in the past, especially in our early 20s, we want to go for like the love bomber, the charmer, the guy where we have like crazy butterflies and we feel like, oh my God, I'm so nervous and always constantly like questioning what he thinks about you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, all these expectations going into a date, when in reality, I honestly think some of the best men that you can date are those that are more of like a slow burn and are not really a crazy charmer in the beginning. Like, I think if you can approach it more like you're getting to know someone, like a friend, I think honestly that will set you up for more success in the end. Versus being like immediately swept off your feet, but at the same time, like confused about where you stand. And I think this kind of brings us into like a second point about dating in a large city like LA or New York. I mean, anywhere, quite honestly, is like knowing what you're wanting. Like if you are wanting a relationship, freaking stand by that. Because if you don't stand by that, then I think you're going to end up getting more hurt in the long run.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think that that is incredibly essential to be honest about what you are preferring and desiring and needing, and knowing your intentions up front. And when you know your intentions, be bold, be brave, be courageous to communicate that. And I think people feel really uncomfortable doing that. I really do. I feel for you. However, I agree with Sky that it is super essential to know what you're wanting so you stand by that, and it helps you to practice more clear communication up front versus later. Then that helps you mitigate any sort of misunderstandings. Like, for instance, if you're kind of going more for those love bomby guys, yeah, or girls for that matter. That's a whole nother kind of subset of individuals that you can potentially be dating. However, if you're like, look, I'm interested in having a relationship, I'm not interested in getting married next week, but I've dated around, been there, done that. And so I'm really interested in taking things slow but serious, slow but methodical, slow but, getting to know one another and not playing games. I think that is so important. But the other point too, Sky, along that is knowing that, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't want to say this is just LA, but it seems like there's a little bit more of a casual dating style in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, this is really difficult because, I'm in LA, but I'm also not living in Alabama or Austin or San Diego. Like, I don't think that's fully fair to put that on LA, but I think we're living in a city where there's tons of actors, there's a massive entertainment industry here. And I think what comes along with that is fame. Tons of influencers. And I think that's what,
Insane,
and being
being
seen
seen.
versus like actually deepening a connection and kind of like more settling down and being chill. Like, I think the values and culture in LA is probably what makes it a little bit more challenging to date and
Exactly.
find the right people who like don't really care about that bullshit.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think that was a good clarification that it's not, I guess when I'm saying casual, it is true that there is a thread of focus on self-image, what's in it for me. If it's in the whole realm of the entertainment or social media, or an emphasis, my word, an emphasis on status and image, which may be felt to a stronger degree in Los Angeles than
For
Nebraska
sure.
or Milwaukee,
Ohio.
Ohio. So I think that's important, which one of the tips in that, then what I would suggest is if that is the case, or you're finding yourself up against the pressure of being something that inherently isn't you, or you're feeling like I've got to get this guy to see me as X, Y, and Z, I want to tell you to stay true to yourself. And if you're dating somebody that status and image and getting to the next level is important to that individual, but not so much to you, then that is your sign, right? That it's not necessarily the person for you. It's tough. I think that needs to be taken into consideration.
Yeah, and I think like what's cool about all of this, I know it's so challenging, but if you can go to bed at night and you know that in your dating life or in your career, your friendships, that regardless of the situation, you are showing up wholeheartedly as yourself. And whether it's a no or it's a yes, you're still authentically you. You're winning. And the right person who sees that, who appreciates that, who who doesn't care about status, just like wants to get to know you for you, they are the right person. And I think the sooner that you have that answer in dating, the better off you are and the less time you're wasting.
Yeah.
And I promise you, there are nice boys in LA.
There definitely are.
Definitely.
And real and authentic people in LA. I just think you're up against a little unique grain,
Agree.
and maybe some other communities are not. So,
A hundred.
And so also when you go to bed at night, make sure you're connected to your truth and your worth and your needs and your desires, and practice some self-care, because it can be exhausting to be going on several dates, right? And also just be patient and have fun.
I agree. Great answer. Okay. Number two question. We're getting lots of dating questions on these
Yes.
episodes, which I love and I totally get because in our 20s, I feel like there's tons of pressure to start to find the one for our 30s. Second, where to find single Jewish men in LA?
Where are they? Well, that's great. I think, as in any subset of people or individuals that you resonate with or that are in alignment with your values or your community, this is a great question. So I think our answer, as we're pondering this, it can be used for any type of individual, whether it is a religion or a heritage or a culture. Whatever it may be, I think it is important to go, wow, how can I expand my network? And for the sake of this question, into the Jewish community, I say probably through any sort of clubs, organizations, events, just get out there and do a little R&D to find out where are they hanging out. Friends, right? You have friends that would know other people. Who could connect you to groups of individuals? There's clubs. I think you have a lot of friends that even do like running clubs, and I think you can really meet them
Oh,
anywhere
yeah.
if you
And I think,
expand
like,
your
living
network.
in LA, we're very lucky to be living in a community full of Jewish people.
Yes,
I mean,
yeah.
even like, look at the dating apps. There's the Locks Club. Put yourself on there. Even
Absolutely.
on Hinge, I know that you can add your
Yeah.
religion and what type of religion you just want to date. Put Jewish men. So I
Is
think there's
there J
always,
date still or no? Is J
I
date
think
still?
J-Date is like only for old people, Mom.
It.
Yes. I mean, let
Know,
me
but I
know
missed
if you guys want to
that.
try it.
Yeah, exactly. That's so funny. Okay, or you can even get like a dating coach or a matchmaker. If you have the right, if you have the money to pay for something like that, but I'm sure there are
And I'm
people.
sure there's probably like niche content creators or matchmakers like on Instagram that you can like find through hashtags that probably have services that are super cheap now. Obviously, it doesn't have to be like the millionaire matchmaker who is like probably a shit ton to work with.
Yeah.
There's probably tons on social waiting for you.
Oh, yes. In fact, I'm thinking of one right now that people can connect with.
Who?
Sydney Carmswainer. She is like the go-to girl. She's put on events. Like, she knows it. She's in the play,
She's
right?
the Jewish queen. So
Yes.
at Sydney, we
That's
may
right.
need you here to
We do.
help find some Jewish men.
Yes.
I
Yeah.
love it. Sorry, Sid.
Yeah, no, love it.
I
And
think
be
that's a great
proactive,
answer.
right? Be proactive, be bold. What about at corporate events? What about at work? Do you
Absolutely.
feel?
I mean,
Yeah.
yeah.
Why not? It's all networking, I think.
I know that Motion LA, it's a workout group. I know that there's tons of Jewish people that go there as well.
That's a great
Yeah.
working out. That's your hobbies, your passions, like
The
just,
gym.
being bold, stepping out of your comfort zone, seeking the
Yeah.
mutual seeking of those
And I
Jewish.
feel like Jewish men love like women that like walk up to them. They love women
Oh,
like that. They
really?
do.
Yeah, I could see that. Men do in
Yeah.
general.
Men do, yeah, in general.
Oh,
Okay. Next question. I love this. One of my audience members, she's adorable. She said, "I have loved what you touched on regarding life and love in our 20s. Just things on my mind I either really struggled with in my 20s or just interested in learning more about. Number one, mother,
Okay.
moving forward mentally after failed romance."
That's good. Well, when I hear that question, I hear two things. The first word I hear is failed. So I always really, that's a big buzzword. So I think it's important for us to unpack that word. And then I heard the word romance. So to me, I'm not hearing how to move on after a long-term breakup. So romance, like even if you're dating someone for a period of time and you're really interested in the individual and you think it's going somewhere, but then they put the kibosh on it and they're like, I'm out of here. That can be internalized as like a failed romance, right? So I think with failed, that word, I think I'd like you guys to look at perspective taking. Okay, is it a failure or is it a redirection, right? Is it a failure or is it an opportunity to refine what you desire, what you need, what you wish for, what you're looking for as it relates to your partner? Is the failure an opportunity to look within and gather introspection and personal learning and a deeper connection with self? I love that versus feeling, ugh, this one didn't work out again.
I think also, like, mom, I love everything that you're saying. Retweet. If you think about like your future partner one day, thank God that last relationship or romance failed. Like, I think after quote unquote every failed or situationship or relationship fling that didn't work out, it is actually bringing you closer to what is actually meant for you.
Love it. I agree, Sky. I think that is incredibly important. I also feel like that perspective or that notion of it's bringing me closer, write that down now, like as you're dating, because of course, when a relationship hits the end, like the period at the end of that romance, your heart is going to ache. And we've talked about this. So allow yourself that time to process what worked, what didn't work. Where is my heart right now? Is there anything in my past that's coming up? Am I defining or am I coming down on myself, right, because of this relationship? So I love, 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 Skylar, that if you can put that down on a post-it note, like, can you repeat it again, what you said?
Oh, it's
Getting
like,
me closer
yeah,
to.
it's like this failed relationship situation or fling that didn't work out is actually getting me closer to what's meant for me. It's
Good.
actually getting me warmer to the partner who's meant for me, who's my match.
So, wouldn't that be a beautiful new definition for failure? There's a reason, there's a purpose in
As
it.
always.
Yeah, so I love that. And I think like if your heart is hurting or you're finding yourself down on yourself because you're identifying it as a personal failure, that is the moment that it's like, okay, I've got to work on forgiving myself. And why am I making this romance the end all be all? I need to get to a place where I can just, be done with that. And if it was a difficult romance ending, like a painful one, I don't have a problem with getting to a point where you're forgetting that individual. That individual is no longer relevant. Bottom
Agreed, mom. Love
line.
it.
Refine and not relevant anymore.
The sass. It's so
Yes,
true. Sometimes
right?
you like, I think the sass is healthy. And if it's no longer serving you, if you're no longer like growing, learning from it, like let that shit go.
Yeah, let it go. Let it go. And the other thing you and I talk about a lot is, and I know this is a little woo-woo, guys, but it's utilizing your relationship with the universe, something higher than you, to know, like, oh, I'm being held, I'm being called to something better, something greater. And even at times when you're feeling your lowest, and I know Skylar has talked about this, you can ask for guidance and trust what starts to come through. So stay moving forward.
Yeah, stay moving forward regardless.
Yeah, stay moving
I
forward.
love it, Mom.
Yay.
Cool. The same girl that asked that question also asked, honoring my needs and aligning it with my values. That's a very broad,
Very.
question, but I think we can tackle it.
I think so too. I think when we, what I'm hearing in her saying that and saying, how do I honor my needs and my values? That tells me that there's a deeper calling to create an internal compass. Okay, so an internal compass by which you are knowing, like, this is me, this is who I am, this is what I'm made of, this is the cloth of Linda or Skylar, right? So you have that internal compass by which you're knowing and living your needs and values. So your needs and your values, that is your compass. So how you create the compass, I think it's important to start with first identifying what your values are. Do a little like journal. Get down and go, what is the most important thing to me? What brings meaning to my life? What is my why? What is my purpose? What jazzes me? What gets me excited? Get a list of like 5 to 10
I love
items.
it.
Okay. And those are your core values. Okay. Those are the things you're going to depend on to move your life forward and to always be honoring your truth. Then the next step is identifying your needs spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally. Identify what you're needing in any given moment. So, for instance, physically would be your need. You like if you value health, what do you need to make sure and ensure that you're living a healthy lifestyle? Okay, you have to need for a healthy lifestyle. So I have to eat healthy foods. I
Move my
have to make
body.
sure move my body. I have to make sure, and for emotions and mental, maybe it's meditating. Maybe it's in being in therapy or coaching, right? So you're cultivating those things that are going to help elevate you and make you more whole. Okay. Then the next step I would say is, are your values and your needs aligned? Example would be if Skylar values health and she knows she wants to live a healthy, grounded life, but she is going to bed every night at midnight, or she's burning the candle at both ends, or
Me
she's
now.
eating, or she's eating too much junk food, which you don't do. But you know what I'm saying? That's like where you go, oh, okay, that doesn't feel like it's in alignment. So I'm a little off course. So my compass is telling me to go one direction, but I keep veering. I'm supposed to go, west, and I keep veering east. So then you're not ultimately going to be honoring your truth and living that. Prioritizing, right? Setting boundaries. These are
That's
other
super
ones.
helpful. I feel like I love the idea of journaling. Like, if someone needs a clear vision of your
Yes.
values, 100% please do that. And there's tons of like journal prompts on values, like on Instagram and online. And I'm sure I'll be able to make a post to dig a little bit deeper there and to support you guys. But I think like the needs are kind of like your non-negotiables. Like for me, my non-negotiable is like movement every day, because I know that if I'm not moving my body, I'm not going to be able to show up as my full best self.
Right.
And I know if I don't move my body or I don't have enough vegetables in a day, that I'm not going to be feeling good. So I think like the action is what messes up like the compass in a way, because
You're not moving in the right
you're not
direction.
moving in the right direction.
Exactly.
So maybe even like journal like the days that you don't feel like you're fully honoring your truest self, or you don't feel like you're in alignment. Maybe ask yourself like what were some of your decisions or actions that day that maybe weren't fully in alignment with some of your values or your
Exactly.
needs. And I think that will help you get a better understanding of like, okay, what's kind of like the missing link here?
I love that. And you know what you can do in addition, like something really easy if you don't have enough time to do a big journal entry, is just rate yourself, rate your state, rate your day, rate if your compass was headed in the right direction. And if not, then go, ooh, what's going on? And of course, you guys, as we're saying this, I want you to please be still, be flexible, be patient, be flexible, and realize, okay, I fell off the wagon.
And it's okay.
It's okay. I'm going to forgive myself and I'm going to get back on and I'm going to find a way to prioritize myself or reprioritize. As we fall off, we have to be flexible with life. There's a lot of transitions. Things change at the last minute, right? Or things fall. We kind of go on autopilot sometimes too, where we think we're sailing okay. And then all of a sudden we hit the wall and we're just like, oh my gosh, I have not been tending to my needs, which has forced you to get out of alignment with your values.
I needed this today. So whomever asked that question, thank
It's a good
you.
one. It's a
And I
good one.
want you to know that I've been off the wagon and I'm now facing the consequences. So you're not alone. Okay. Next question. I love this question. Not caring about what people say or think.
Oh my goodness.
Babe.
Yeah.
Someone else's opinion about you is none of your business.
Your business. Yeah, that is so good. And in fact, whoever sent that question in, I have to share with you, I was on a walk this morning and your question, which was the thing I was meditating on as I was walking. And I love the little, this is a little tip you can't see on the screen, but the journal app, I love that. Like that could be a place that you actually are doing notes. So I did notes on this.
Love it, mommy.
And I'll just kind of go through some of my thoughts. I think the first step is to ask yourself why it matters. I start thinking, I'm like, why does it really matter what other people are thinking or saying? Because the reality is, you guys, what people are thinking or saying is going through their lens and their story and their narrative, which you know what? Oftentimes you don't want that to be your story and narrative. So get a little bit of space and distance from that because why does it matter? Why does it matter? Unless what they're talking about, you can utilize to improve your life. So oftentimes, like if you, let's say there is an argument or a disagreement and you know people are talking about it or you know someone brings it up to you, then you may go, whoa, I need to maybe check in and see, is this, do I need to make an amends or do I need to correct my way? Am I off course? Am I off path in this situation or this relationship? I could see that being a real benefit, but I think in general, people love to talk. People love to gossip. People like to deflect the focus on themselves and put it on someone else. So if someone's talking about you, give them something to talk about. I don't know, little, you know what I'm saying? Like grow and obviously you're of interest. And I know it's hard at times because our heart gets triggered and tendered and it hurts sometimes to feel like you're at the your name is coming out of other people's mouths.
And I think a lot of the times, like people are gossiping or talking behind your back because A, they have nothing else to do. B, they're like maybe envious or jealous in a way, and they don't feel honestly like enough about themselves. So they want to bring others in to talk about it to make themselves feel better, or even like it's kind of like the community group effect. I think that's.
Or they're not happy. Like oftentimes you wonder why people are talking negatively about others is because it ultimately, as you hear this all the time, It elevates, makes the person feel better than you. So, but let's dig in a little bit more. Another question that I have for them to look at, or for you to look at, is where in my life did I learn to value other people's opinion of me over my own? Like, where did I learn that what they are thinking and saying in any given moment is more important than my own truth or how I feel about myself? That's a big question because,
Big.
yeah, because that lends you to like, is this coming from a place of a pattern of consistently pleasing and making everybody else's needs more important than my own? Is this coming from any sort of past painful dynamics or situations where you were really hurt in relationships, and have that has that really been healed fully, where your worth isn't attached to other people? Is this coming from my own insecurities? Of course, no shame in that. But we might as well unpack what's getting triggered in ourselves, because I'd much prefer you be working on your own self-worth. Because I really think that's what's at the base of it. It's like our worth gets attached to how other people think of us versus, no, it's really important for me to really know my worth and love myself and work through my own blocks and not be so tied to how other people feel, see, think about me. So I guess in general, what I want to say is, why are you outsourcing your worth to
Yeah.
others?
It's like I know my worth, who I am, regardless of what other people think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a hard one. That could be a whole
Whole
nother
episode,
thing
which.
about worth and how to unhook from other people.
Yeah. Honestly, thank you. I think that's an amazing episode topic that I would love to dig a little bit deeper
Yeah, there's
in.
a lot to be said about that. This.
But hopefully that like quickly kind of answered your question and helped. I'm just writing this down. Like I don't want to forget this.
We can dive into it, because there's a lot to say, like a lot to
A
say.
lot. Okay. Next question, you guys. Health struggles and anxiety in the way of who I know I really am and how much I want to do. Health struggles and anxiety are maybe getting in the way of who I know I really am and how much I want to do.
Yes. So that, yeah, I'm hearing, and please forgive us if we're having to
Understanding the
interpret. Yeah,
question.
we're having to interpret the question, but let me let you know this is how I'm interpreting that. How can this individual or people in general, how can we all not let anxiety, our health struggles interfere with our potential of who we are in any given moment, and how can we not take over so it interferes with what we want to do in life?
I think that was spot on, Mom.
I'm wondering, like,
Oh,
I
yeah, I think so.
feel,
Yep.
yeah, I feel this, I feel this, I feel this. So if we're spot on, a few things that I would say about this is, I think it's really important for us, you guys, and I've had my health struggles, and I've had anxiety, and I've had challenges in life that I feel have completely derailed how I feel in any given moment and where I think I can go. So part of that is really practicing patience, that there needs to be time for healing, and there needs to be time for uncovering where this pain is coming from, where the anxiety is coming from, you know, what's going on with our health issues. And that is really hard, especially for individuals that are go-getters and want to get out there and grab life and be a part of it. Sometimes our bodies don't cooperate. You know, and so I think prioritizing in those moments It's prioritizing your self-care. It's pristine, as we learned from Sandy.
She's the best.
I'm Sandy Robertson. Love her.
Yes.
She taught me in my lowest moments to really honor and practice pristine healthcare. I mean, pristine, it was
And
pristine,
healthcare.
actually, because I
Yeah.
really got my butt to an amazing doctor. But pristine self-care, which did mean I had to unplug from the hustle and plug into me, which was really hard because sometimes I don't really want to see what's in me.
Yeah.
So that is key. And then I think this question, and Sky, you may want to say something to this too, is being able to step back and analyze, is it the anxiety that's getting in the way? Is it the anxiety that's causing the health struggle? Or is it the health struggles that are causing the anxiety? It can be
Yeah,
both.
that's interesting.
But I think sometimes suffering from unprocessed, unhealed anxiety will ultimately cause health issues. But also dealing with unresolved or feeling stuck in health struggles definitely will cause anxiety, depression, and additional psychological struggles and ailments. So it is a double whammy.
The answer to the question here, in a way, without getting into tons of details, is like the only way that we can all live like a fulfilling, purpose-filled, beautiful, abundant life where we get to experience the world, be with our friends, travel, see things, build,
Yeah,
go
and
after
life.
our career path, is if we have our health. And like by health, I mean both physical and mental health. And unfortunately, we can't press like a button that's going to be like 100% energy, battery renewed. Like, that's not how it works. And I think the answer, ultimately, like you said, mom, is like to kind of step away from the world for a sec, to like look internally and like ask yourself what you're needing. And sometimes, like, I feel like that may be, depending on like what the issue is, prioritizing your health for like 3 months to get you back on track. And then hopefully maybe that will alleviate some of the anxiety if the health is the trigger of the anxiety, or the other way around. Like, let's say maybe the anxiety is more of like the root cause, I think then, getting the support that you need. And it's not going to just all of a sudden go away by you being out there and distracted.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's a real this is really a beautiful question, but really huge. There's a lot to say with this. And I think in addition to what Sky's saying is unplugging and plugging into self. Also, when you start to reemerge back into life, it's protecting your energy. That's a hard thing to do, but it's essential. And so only you can identify what that means, like where are your leaks in your energy? Where do people infiltrate your space, your mind, your heart, and where do you carry it? And do you carry too much? Do you take on too much that causes burnout
Dude,
and
I so
emotion?
feel this. I just want to thank all of you guys, because all of these questions, I wish that we could dedicate like a full hour episode, because there's so much to be said about all of these things. And I just want you all to know that I'm not forgetting about these questions. And I think these are amazing opportunities to answer them in full depth on like an episode for over an hour.
And I think what would be really great, Sky, is when you feel like there's so much more to be said, then that would be really beautiful opportunity, right? To seek an individual or a specialty and
Yeah.
focus solely in on this. And you have done quite a few of it, but I think you can get specified. And so it's this, these are, you're right. I agree with you. They're just very
Yeah.
good. And all of this is about really honoring, even if you go back to that values question and you go back to your needs, it can even be put in this question, like, how do you pay attention to what you're needing in any given moment? And clearly, what I'm hearing from this individual is that what's important to them is to feel a sense of engagement in their life, to feel like they're part of their life and they're feeling held back physically, emotionally, mentally. And so what are they needing, right? What can they do to pay attention to their needs so they can get back to their value of being engaged, being connected, being on purpose, feeling like they're adventuresome, like they have an adventure side to them. They're spontaneous. Can't be spontaneous and you can't be adventurous if you're not feeling your best.
I agree.
So
I
I think,
agree.
but it's a great question. Be proactive and go slow when you're feeling better. Protect your energy.
That's been a huge lesson for me, and I'm still mastering that day by
Forever.
day.
Forever. Every day. Every day we do.
Mom, this was such a tight episode. I feel like we're getting a lot better at like our timing.
Yes.
And I just want you all to know that my mom and I like love nothing more than like to sit down and talk about these topics. Like, I feel like it's so crazy because mom, like, this is what we talk about every
It
day.
really is.
Like, whether I'm like calling you with like a 911 moment or like I'm at home visiting you, like, these are the conversations we're having. And if we can record them and like share this wisdom or just like what's coming up for us and what we're learning, like, that's what we're here for.
Exactly. And I have to give you props, Guy, that yesterday I had a 911 moment myself. And I was driving home from Orange County, and Sky just happened to call me at the most opportune time. And I was just needing to really just honor where I was in my heart and my space. And you were there, and you just held me. And so it goes both ways, girl. You're gonna make me
I'm
cry.
crying.
So it's so beautiful to be in that space with you that we do have these really deep conversations because it's a circle, okay? And I never, just like I've said to you all before, I never profess to have all the answers. And I need the support. And I know, you know, it's so amazing to know that I have you, Skylar, as not only my daughter, but my best friend, my best broke friend. And
Very broke. Very.
know that it always comes full circle, and it's just so beautiful. And we're doing this here with each other and bringing other people in on this circle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the regardless family.
Yeah.
We've got this, you guys. We're literally in it together.
Yes.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Regardless. If today's discussion sparked a mindset shift, we want to hear from you. Join the conversation on Instagram and TikTok at RegardlessOfPod and share your insights. You can also find me personally at Skylar Sorkin on Instagram. For more transformative content, hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. If you loved what you heard, leaving a review and sharing with your friends helps us reach even more 20-somethings on their journey. New episodes drop every other Monday of each month on all major podcast audio platforms. Remember, your path is unique, but with Regardless, you're a part of a community navigating this transformative decade together. Until our next exploration, our next life manual, keep evolving, stay confident, and embrace the journey because your future self is eagerly awaiting your growth. Cheers to thriving in our 20s. Stay electric.